11th Sunday, Year C, Ordinary Time. Readings from the Second Book of Samuel, the Galatians, and the Gospel of Luke. Reading 1, Second Book of Samuel, chapter 12, verse 7. Nathan said to David, "You are the man. Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel. I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you out of the hand of Saul. And I gave you your master's house and your master's wives into your bosom, and gave you the house of Israel and of Judah. And if this were too little, I would add to you as much more. Why have you despised the word of the Lord to do what is evil in his sight? You have smitten Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and have taken his wife to be your wife, and have slain him with the sword of the Ammonites. Now, therefore, the sword shall never depart from your house, because you have despised me, and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife." David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." And Nathan said to David, "The Lord also has put away your sin. You shall not die." Reading 2. The book of Galatians, chapter 2, verses 16. Yet who know that a man is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ? Even we have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ, and not by works of the law. But by works of the law shall no one be justified. But if, in our endeavor to be justified in Christ, we ourselves were found to be sinners, is Christ then an agent of sin? Certainly not. But if I build up again those things which I tore down, then I prove myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, died to the law, that I might live to God. I do not nullify the grace of God. For if justification were through the law, then Christ died to no purpose. Gospel, Luke, chapter 7, verse 36. One of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and took a place at table. And behold, a woman of the city, who was a sinner, when she learned that he was at table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment, and standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears, and wiped them with the hair of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw it, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is, who is touching him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus, answering, said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." And he answered, "What is it, teacher?" A certain creditor had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii, and the other 50. When they could not pay, he forgave them both. Now which of them will love him more? Simon answered, "The one, I suppose, to whom he gave more." And he said to him, "You have judged rightly." Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but he who is forgiven little loves little." And he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." Then those who were at the table with him began to say among themselves, "Who is this? Who even forgives sins?" And he said to the woman, Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Theme: examining ourselves to recognize our sins and not to condemn others. People used to think their decisions are right until the moment when God sends somebody to point out their mistakes. In such a moment of enlightenment, people should be humble to recognize their wrongdoing so that they can receive God's forgiveness. If not, that precious moment will pass and people shall regret it forever. Today's readings illustrate the cases when people were enlightened by God. In the first reading, God sent the prophet Nathan to King David to correct him. Nathan skillfully corrected David by telling him an unjust story. At first hearing it, David becomes angry and condemns the rich man who took away his neighbor's lamb. But when Nathan pointed his finger to David and said, "That rich man is you," then King David recognized his sins and begged for God's forgiveness. In the second reading, before the Damascus event, Paul thought that people could be saved by careful keeping of the law. But after this event, Paul must humbly confess that no one can perfectly keep the law. Therefore, everyone must believe in Christ to receive salvation. In the Gospel, Jesus also told a story to help a Pharisee to recognize his shortcomings. Jesus came to his house as a guest, but he did nothing to treat him as a guest. While a prostitute who had just come by treated him more like a guest, Jesus forgave all her sins and told her to go home in peace. Analysis Reading 1. Nathan came to King David to point out his sins against Bathsheba's family. To understand this passage, readers need to read previous chapters of the second book of Samuel, especially what King David did to Uriah and his wife. David should have recognized all God's blessings for him and lived righteously before him. After hearing Nathan's story, King David became very angry, condemned the righteous act, and gave out his punishment. But Nathan enlightened David's mind when he said to him, "You are the man. Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you out of the hand of Saul, and I gave you your master's house and your master's wife into your bosom, and gave you the house of Israel and of Judah. And if this were too little, I would add to you as much more." King David recognized all his sins against God and others. King David knew Nathan likened him with the rich man in the story. And all things happened in the past which David thought that no one knew, now Nathan reported in details. David killed a man without weapons. Nathan said, "Why have you despised the word of the Lord to do what was evil in his sight? You have smitten Uriah the Hittite with the sword and have taken his wife to be your wife and have slain him with the sword of the Ammonites. Now, therefore, that sword shall never depart from your house because you have despised me and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife." David didn't directly kill Uriah, but sent him into the hottest battle without backup soldiers, so that Uriah would be killed by the sword of the Ammonites. David's purpose in doing this was to take Bathsheba, Uriah's wife, as his wife. David repented from his sins. Then King David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." And Nathan said to David, the Lord also has put away your sin. You shall not die." From that time on, many bad things happened in David's house, as the Lord's punishments for his sins. But he didn't complain because he knew all those were the results of his sins. Reading 2. A man is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. Examining oneself according to the law. Today's passage of Paul's letters to the Galatians is the center of Paul's doctrinal section. He said, "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified." In order to understand why Paul made this conclusion, we must come back to what happened to Paul on the way to Damascus. Before that event, Paul was a conservative Pharisee. On his way to Damascus to seize the Christian, Paul was a conservative Pharisee on the way to Damascus to seize the Christians there, bring them back to Jerusalem and put them in prison, because Paul thought they opposed the ancestors' laws. But a light from heaven struck him, causing him to fall and to become blinded. Then the resurrected Christ appeared and showed him that he was still living. After that, he opened both Paul's physical and spiritual eyes to let him know that the law is good, but no one can keep the law. According to what the Lord had said to Moses, only one violation is enough for one to die forever. Therefore, no one can become righteous by keeping the law. The reason for Jesus' coming. Since no one can become righteous and saved by the law, Christ must come and redeem sins for people. Once their sins are taken away, they become righteous before God. When they become righteous, they don't have to die, but shall live forever. So St. Paul ascertained, "For I, through the law, died to the law, that I might live to God. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if justification were through the law, then Christ died to no purpose." Gospel, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. First of all, we need to find out the reason. First of all, we need to find the reason why the Pharisee Simon invited Jesus to dine with him. It wasn't as an honored guest because he didn't fulfill his duty as a host. It also wasn't to harm him, as some Pharisees, because he called Jesus by an honorable name, Rabbi, which means teacher. He might be in the middle, both wanting to be popular and to hear Jesus' teaching. Second, why did the woman have the courage to come to Jesus without the fear of being rejected? She must have been one of Jesus' audience. She must have been in one of Jesus' audiences. She heard his teaching and was touched by it, so she came to express her love and repentance. The fact that she let her hair become loose in public might be regarded as an act of a sinful woman, but she didn't care because she lived according to her true self. She knew she was a sinner, and everyone around her also knew that, so she didn't need to hide it. According to Jewish tradition, when a guest comes to visit, the host shall welcome a guest by putting one's hand on the guest's shoulder and kissing him. Then he shall take water to wash the guest's feet. Finally, the host shall put some drops of olive oil or perfume on the guest's head. This Pharisee didn't do any of these three things according to the tradition for Jesus, so he can't be blamed as lacking hospitality. So he can be blamed as lacking hospitality. Not only that, he also condemned both Jesus and the woman by saying, "If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner." Jesus invited the Pharisee Simon to examine his conscience. Like the conversation between Nathan and David, Jesus also tells Simon a story. At first, the Pharisee thought the story had nothing to do with him. "The story of the two debtors," Jesus said to him. "Simon, I have something to say to you." And he answered, "What is it, teacher?" "A certain creditor had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he forgave them both. Now which of them will love him more?" Simon answered, "The one, I suppose, to whom he forgave more." And he said to him, "You have judged rightly." The concrete example. Turning his face to the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little." Jesus forgives the woman's sins. Then Jesus said to the woman, "Your sins are forgiven." Then those who were at the table with him began to say among themselves, "Who is this? Who even forgives sins?" And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." The woman's faith was expressed by her love for Jesus. Jesus didn't praise her sins, but he emphasized her acts of repentance. She knew that she had sins, and many of them, but she trusted in God's compassion and believed that he would forgive her sins. Since she had many sins, she was more deeply full of gratitude when she was forgiven, and she was at peace with herself and in a good relationship with God. For the Pharisee, we didn't hear any of his action, even a repented word. In reality, everyone sins against God and others. When people feel that they have no sin, they deceive themselves, as John said, because they don't carefully examine their conscience. The most danger for those who call themselves righteous is that they don't need God and his forgiving love. Application in life. We should also often examine our conscience to recognize our sins and to ask for God's forgiveness. Those who don't do this shall not confess their sins and continually be in their sins. After being reconciled with God, we must be generous. We must generously forgive those who have sinned against us. We need to avoid judging others. Leave that for God. We only need to know one thing as a human being. All are prone to fall, and all have many weaknesses.